All right, now I told you last week that what I was going to do on Sunday morning is bring a message on the subject of marriage, and you need to do that on occasions to help people's marriage. I do marriage counseling. I quit doing weddings. I ain't going to tell you why, but I quit doing weddings. I haven't done one for years, but I do marriage counseling. And I do a lot of it at one time or the other. Now, you know why I do a lot of it? I don't charge for it. Yeah, it's very cost efficient. So when they can't get anybody else, they'll go to the preacher that don't charge anything. But I do a lot of marriage counseling. And I try to preach a good bit on marriage at different times because I think God's people ought to have a strong marriage. I think that you should be an example to unsaved people of how your marriage should be. Do you all agree? God's people should have a good marriage. And you know why that really is? But not only because both of you have the Holy Spirit in you, but we have the marriage manual. This is the marriage manual. When you have the marriage manual, you should know more about spiritual things, and you should know what it takes to have a good marriage. So, what I'm going to do today in the Song of Solomon chapter 2, this is just a jump off verse, and I've used this before in a different way in the past. In verse 15, it says this, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Let me read that one more time. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for everybody that's here, Lord. We're sorry for those folks who couldn't make it from Poca because of the power outage. We pray that you would help and touch there and maybe get it on and folks could be back this evening. Lord, as we begin to go into this message dealing with marriage, and I pray that you would help me as I present it. May I present it in an understandable way. We pray that you grant me the unction of the Spirit of God, Lord, that people would understand what I'm saying. And Lord, may this be a changing message for somebody's life and marriage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, but you're not married, this message is still for you. A lot of times some people want to know how, you know, have marriage trouble. You know, usually if you work on a job people really know that you're a Christian and they're having trouble, they'll go to the Christian on the job. That's usually what will happen. They'll go to the man that they know knows the Lord or the woman that knows the Lord, and they know the Bible is where marriage comes from anyhow. God's the one that established marriage anyhow, and he put in this book what is needed in order for us to have a good one. You can have a good marriage if you follow the guidelines that is given in the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to title this message, Song of Solomon 2:15, is just a jumping off point for me for this. But we're going to title this message, Little Foxes That Will Destroy Your Marriage. Little Foxes That Will Destroy Your Marriage. I looked up about these little foxes, and here's what it says. "Our harvest of grapes will be ruined if little foxes destroy the vines. Little foxes sneak into the vineyard when no one suspects that anything is wrong. They cannot reach the grapes, so they chew away the vine, and the vine falls, and then the little foxes eat the tender grapes while gnawing and gnawing at the vine. Suddenly, the entire grapevine is destroyed." So the little foxes is very dangerous to someone's crops, but what we're going to do is look at little foxes that will destroy your marriage. So I want to try to get all of these in. Each point I got, you could do a sermon on, and I don't intend to do that. I just intend to try to hit them and roll forward. And if everyone here this morning will pray, the Holy Spirit will bless this message. I mean, you can do all the studying that you can, but if you don't have the unction of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit working on somebody's heart, it won't accomplish anything. So you help me with that today and pray silently and things as I preach. I'm going to try not to be too awful windy. If I see I'm going to be too long, I'll cut it and I'll finish it next week, Lord willing. Does that sound cool? But I want you to listen to it. All right, let's look at the first little fox. These are little foxes that will destroy your marriage. And by the way, Christians aren't exempt from these. Christians have just as much marital trouble as unsaved people do. Now, God's people have someone that can come in and help them, which is the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but both saved and lost many times have trouble with their marriage. So I want to try to help you with that today and give you some things to think about, give you some things maybe to write down and look for. The Lord's churches need to have strong marriages. God's people need to have strong marriages. And we're going to show you what needs to be done. The first little fox that will spoil your marriage or destroy your marriage is the little fox of unforgiveness. The little fox of unforgiveness. And I want you to go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. Let me get over to that one first before I start really talking here a bit. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. The little fox of what? The little fox of unforgiveness. Really, the little fox of unforgiveness is a big fox, but it'll kill your relationship if you're not careful. Beloved, every couple makes mistakes for which they need to ask God and their spouse for forgiveness. Y'all agree? Every couple makes mistakes for which they need to ask God and their spouse for forgiveness. And it goes good for a while, and then it comes back. You ever seen anybody do that? And I've seen that in counseling a lot, where we dealt with one subject, and we got that subject all lined out, and everything was looking pretty good. And then guess what happens? They blow up over the same subject again. They really didn't learn much from what we already talked about. And usually what the problem is just unforgiveness. They bring it back up, what that person said or did. And anger takes over, and it just can be a horrible meeting at times when you go through these kinds of things. You got to forgive folk. Let me say it one more time. You got to forgive folks, and especially your husband, and especially your wife. They'll say and do things at times that angers you and hurts you. Well, what do you need to do? You know what most couples do? You get that long silent treatment sometimes. You ever get that? And nobody talks. Nobody talks. You ever do it? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you get mad. So then you give them that silent treatment. And then she starts clanging the dishes, and you know she's mad, and the pans, and because she's mad, and all these kinds of things. But what it comes down to is we all do things that we need to be forgiven for, and every now and again, men, you got to go in and say, listen, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me for what I said. And every now and again, wives need to do the exact same thing. I've seen people hold on to those things forever. Hold on to those things forever. And what it does is over time, it causes another thing. When you don't forgive your spouse, I want you to hear me. When you don't forgive your spouse for something they said or did, you know what that'll turn into? Does anybody know? Somebody tell me. Does anybody know? Bitterness. You get bitter. You ever meet anybody that was bitter? Sour. And that's what unforgiveness does. If you don't forgive anybody, if you don't forgive somebody for what they've done, then what will happen is that will turn into bitterness. And if you have bitterness towards someone, you know what that'll turn into? That'll turn into hatred. You got to deal with your bitterness. You got to get rid of it. And only the Lord can help you do that. In the book of Hebrews 12, and the verse 15, it talks about bitterness, and it likens it to a root. You know why it likens it to a root? Because it lies beneath. When you dig up a root, it's beneath the ground, isn't it? And that's what bitterness is. It lies beneath, down in your heart, and it'll spoil you from within. Man, I've done counseling before with people, and they've been so bitter at one another that it's been, it was, buddy, just the first hour is nothing but fighting and quarreling, you know. And they're bitter. I said, well, do you love her? Do you love, oh, yes. Boy, it certainly don't sound like it right now. It's not. It don't sound too joyful. Too joyful for me. So bitterness springs up. It says, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. See, it's called the bitter what again? The bitter what? Root. Again, why? It lies beneath. It's anger. It's anger. And it grows, and it gets worse. And over time, it'll spoil you. I'm telling you right now, it'll spoil your fruitfulness in your salvation, too. You'll get so bitter and mean and cantankerous and hateful. You ever see anybody like that? What's happened to them? Well, they're bitter. And the reason why they're bitter is they refuse to forgive. They refuse to forgive. Love it, I make mistakes. I probably made one this year, I figure. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. For which we have to sometimes say, listen, what I said was stupid, for sake of their word. What I did was something I shouldn't have did. Forgive me for that. All God's people say it. Sometimes everybody has to do that, especially with regard to your spouse, because if you don't forgive, you know what you're thinking? You say, well, you're letting them off the hook. You know who you're really letting off the hook? You're letting you off the hook. Because when it seeps down in here and the bitterness takes over, that's one of the number one killers. Hear me. It's the number one killer of Christian fruitfulness. All God's people say it. You got to get rid of that thing, get it out of there. One of my heroes in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 50, is Joseph. I love Joseph. I think he's an awesome man. Now his brothers, what it was is dad liked him best. And he made a difference between his boys, you know. He made a difference between his boys. And you just as well, and Jacob bought him a coat of many collars, and you just as well put a sign on it that says, Dad loves me best. You know what I mean? And it made them angry, and it made them bitter. They got so, it's amazing what people will do in bitterness. Do y'all agree? They'll do some pretty bad things. You know what they did? They seen him a-coming. And they said, oh, behold, here comes the dreamer. You know what they did, Rick? Probably what you did with, what you'd like to do to Lee. They throwed him down in a pit. They put him down in a pit. And put him down in there. And while he was crying out, they sat down and ate their dinner. That's pretty cold, isn't it? They throwed him down in there. Do what? Give him away. Yeah, that's true. So once he put him in the, you know what? They sat down and ate their dinner, and then they were going to kill him. They're going to kill their own brother. So then they looked out, and here comes some people going down to Egypt. So they said, we'll sell him. And that's exactly what they did. Y'all agree that those were some pretty bad things to do to their brother? You know why they did them? Bitterness. They got bitter. They refused to forgive or anything of that nature. And that made them do some of the most... That was a dastardly deed, wasn't it? People do some pretty bad things in bitterness. All God's people said. So a little fox of unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. And hear me. It'll kill your marriage. Unless you go to a counselor and let them help you a bit. I mean, there's been many times in counseling, I said, hey, bud, you're spewing nothing but venom here. You're mad over something. What's your problem? See, people like to hide things from a preacher, you know what I mean? I got to weasel that out of them after a while. But the bottom line is they're bitter. You need to get rid of it. Hey, is there anything you're bitter over today? Why don't you forgive that? All God's people said. Why don't you forgive that? And that'll help you. And you know what it'll do? It'll set you what? It'll set you free. All right, you like that first one? Let me give you another one. Number two is the little fox of edification. Let me look here at 1 Thessalonians 5, make sure this is the right text. I'm just kind of winging this a little bit. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want you to notice the verse 11. What's the first little fox? The first little fox is unforgiveness. Now let's get the second little fox. It says in verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and what's it say to do to one another? Edify one another. Does anybody know what edify means?
Build up.
You want to know how to make your man better? Build them up. Yeah. Build them up. Men don't respond to be cutting down all the time. They don't respond well to that. Men need to be what? They need to be built up. You need to appreciate what they do. You need to appreciate your husband and you need to appreciate your wife too. Problem is, what happens to people is they quit appreciating each other. Their life becomes routine. It's the same old all the time. And they need to be built up. Every now and then, men, you need to tell your wives, listen, I appreciate what you do for me. Hey, girls, would y'all like to hear that? Or would you rather have a diamond ring? Wouldn't you like to hear that all the time? Hey, let me tell you something, beloved. It's too late to appreciate them after they're dead. You need to give them their flowers and their roses while they're living. You need to tell them that right now. You don't need to wait to do that till later. Means a lot. All God's people say it. Means a lot to folks. So you need to edify and build up. I used to do this when I do counseling, and I love to watch men do it because they're horrible at it. And they're like little boys sometimes, men are. And I'll go in there, and y'all, I've told you this before. I look, because of a quarrel. Sometimes I'm in the midst of a quarrel. And what I'll do is I say, well, here's what I want you to do. Y'all been married a while. Obviously, there's something about the old boy you liked at one time and about the old girl you liked at one time. What I want you to do is I want you to tell me five things. I want you to write them down. I want you to write them down on a piece of paper. I'll give you time. I want you to write five things down that you love about your wife. And the men are horrible at it, Hollis. They're awful. And look here, I'm talking grown men. They'll go, can she go first? Grown men, 50, 40. Grown men, can she go? Now, you know why they want her to go? They can steal what they put down on their paper. Five things you love about your wife. Well, I make them do that. And one particular one I was working on one time, and I said, I want you to tell her five things you love about her. And then he did. I looked over and the tears was running down her face. You know why they was running? She hadn't heard that for years. Shame on you. Shame on you. Edification. Once we went through those five things, I said, but she don't seem like a devil to me. I mean, seems like she'd been a pretty good woman to me. Having them five things down there, she must be an awful good woman. Edification is building somebody up. You'll never make your spouse better if you cut them down all the time. You never make them better by cutting them down all the time. You don't make a man better for sure by cutting them down all the time. Look at the things that are good. When you get to focusing on the things that are good, they far outweigh the things that are bad. All God's people see it. So the little fox of edification will really be a blessing in your life if you'll do it. Y'all agree? Be a blessing. All right. The little fox of unforgiveness. I'm sorry, the little fox of no edification. I'm talking about edification and that together, but some women are never built up at all. Some women are never built up at all. Some men are never built up at all. They're just beat down constantly. But it shouldn't be by Christian men. And it shouldn't be by Christian women. Y'all agree? It shouldn't be that way. You're to edify them. No edification, that thing gets bad. Number three. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to go ahead and get done. I think I won't wear you out. And I think you need. Y'all think you need this? If you think we need this, say amen. All righty. Proverbs chapter 5. The third little fox is the little fox of no dating. The little fox of no dating. I told an old boy that one time I was in a counseling session one time, and I said, You need to date your wife. Set up a date and go with your wife. And he said, well, preacher, there ain't no use to run to catch the bus once you're already on it. That's what he said. I said, that's why we're in here right now, when I could be home. I thought that was pretty good, but she didn't think so. No. You'll remember this one, won't you? The little fox of no dating. I still court my wife. I know what she likes. I try to buy her what she likes. I'd like to take her places she likes to go. We done spoke on this. I like to try to build her up. She still leaves me notes. I can go there to get in my Bible and open up where I'm going to be, and there'll be a love note there.
Mow the grass.
Yeah, mow the grass. Yeah, there'll be a love note there. I love Christmas trees, and boy, that's in context, isn't it? And I like lights and stuff at Christmas time. And she come pick me up, and we went up Charleston. I didn't know where we was going. She took me over to that Christmas tree place up there. And then we went inside, and she took me. I like to go over and sit at the very top of the mall, town center, and look down at that. And she took me over there. Why'd she do that for? Well, we were courting. You still date. You still go places. You still send love notes. You still send cards. You still do all those things. And that keeps your relationship vibrant. Who told you to stop courting after you got married? Who's told you to stop doing that? You continue to do that. Send them things. Do what they like. I know what my wife likes. And I try to meet all of that. Try to get her the things that she wants. You got to date a little bit. Don't stop doing it. Here's what, can I quote Neely Arthur, my uncle? Here's what he said. He said, boy, you got to take that woman out and buy her a regular hot dog and a small Coke every now and again. That's exactly what he said. I know what he meant. He specified a small Coke and a regular hot dog. That's, girls, that would be your way. That'd be the height of date for you, wouldn't it? All right, this is three. You getting this? Little fox of unforgiveness, what it'll do? It'll spoil your vine, buddy. It'll spoil your marriage. You need to get rid of that bitterness. in your heart. That's what unforgiveness will always lead to. And who that hurts the most is you. Who that'll hurt the most is you. Number two, little flocks of no edification. You need to build one another up. When you dated, you did that. You never stopped doing that. Little flocks of no dating, you still need to, you know, go out and go places and still, you know, enjoy your anniversaries and things of that nature. Make a big deal out of it. Make a big deal out of it. Number four. Number four. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm just shooting from the hip this morning, but I get sick of people going through divorces. And it's hard on folk. It's hard on families, and it's hard on children. And if you can strengthen your marriage through the marriage manual, it'll help you. You'll be happier. Number four. This is a little fox of no intimacy. A couple is to have intimacy really all the days of their life. Now, I realize things change over their years, but there still needs to be a coming together. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence." You want to underline that, because you know what it means? It's your responsibility to satisfy the needs of your spouse. That's what it means. And if that's withheld, it causes problems in the marriage. All God's people say it. You say, well, what are you doing here? I'm doing a premarital, before somebody gets married. That's exactly what everything I'm telling you now is what I tell somebody when they're about to get married. That'll be a problem if you don't know about it going into it. It's your responsibility to supply the sexual needs of your spouse. You say, well, that's embarrassing. Not for me, and it shouldn't be for you either. It's a real problem. It can be a real problem. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband hath not power over her body, but the wife. Now, notice the verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be for consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Now, what if this doesn't happen? What if this isn't followed? What does the latter part of the verse say? That Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. All God's people say it. He'll take advantage of the marriage relationship in that way. The little fox of no intimacy. You should still have your anniversaries, like I've already said. You should still go places, as I've said, and you need to be with one another. You need to be with one another. Let me say also here under this, I'm going to do one more and I'll quit. Men, you got to be careful about getting too close to the women you work with, and vice versa. You got to be, listen, I had at Hex 50, 60 employees that worked for me, and I've seen a lot. You can get too friendly with someone from the opposite sex. Now, I'm not saying you'd be mean or hateful or anything, but you can be too friendly. Here's how I know. I'm just going to lay her out there. But I'd be up at the plant. And of course, I had the majority of the people there. And then what happens? You see a woman, and then there'd be a man, and maybe the woman would be married, or vice versa. Next thing you know, everywhere they went, they were there. Everywhere you went, you found them. I mean, you had orders that you pull. But everywhere you went, you'd find these two people together. And I'd go back here and I'd say, hey, why don't you break it up? There ain't no way, if she gets done an hour before you or whatever, you shouldn't be in the same aisle together. You need to break this. Oh, well, nothing's going on. I said, I ain't that stupid. I might look that way, but I'm not. You need to break this thing up. Guess what happened? They didn't break it up. And then they end up getting a divorce, and then they come running to the preacher and said, "Oh, I lost my wife." I said, "No wonder. I'd have thrown you out a long time ago." No wonder. Be very careful about getting too friendly on your job with somebody from the opposite sex. All God's people say, "Well, I'm stronger than that." Lord, King David thought he was too. The man after God's own heart. He not only committed adultery, but to hide his sin, he put that woman's husband in the front of the hottest battle so he would be killed to hide his sin. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. Well, there needs to be intimacy in your marriage of some kind. Or over time, it'll run into bitterness. And many times, it'll run into a divorce, too. All right, I'm going to give you one more. Y'all, I'll give them all to you back at again. I know I'm going a little long, but I don't charge overtime. Number six. The little fox of unresolved conflict. You got to settle things. You got to settle things. Joe Collins is one of my buddies. He's a pastor, and he says that him and his wife always settles things before they go to sleep. That's what he said. Then he looked at me and said, "Sometimes we lay there a real long time, though." That's what he said. Sometimes we lay there a real long time. Because if you let it go, the conflict will get worse. You need to settle things. You need to settle things in a good way. Both sides need to be willing to settle things. If you don't, you'll have unresolved conflict. And when you have that, it'll always surface up later, Rick. It'll surface somewhere. But if you don't deal with it right like you should, then it'll come back and destroy your marriage over time. Last of all, I'm going to give you one more. This is the very last. I'm out of paper right here. The little fox of unkindness. Be kind to your spouse. Be kind to her. Be kind to her. Be kind to your husband. Be kind to him. Kindness goes a long way. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 gives the description of love, and it says love is kind. If you love your wife, you'll be kind to her. You'll be kind to her. You'll treat her good. All God's people said. All right, I'm going to stop with that. I know that was a windy, but it's needed. Anymore, by way of warning, it's used to be the church was a little bit ahead of the world, but now it's almost broken even. Saved people are getting divorces just about the same rate as unsaved people are anymore. It's changed a lot. It shouldn't be, because we have the what? We have the manual, and we have God, and we have God. Okay, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.